You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, hour number two, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Friday. In fact, Badger from Athens just texted in and said, Happy Friday, and that's exactly the way we say it. So Badger, thank you very much, and same to you. We're going to continue this thread that we're on right now. I've been sort of opining and waxing philosophical about taxes. And if you look at it, I mean, the tax man cometh and the tax man goeth is what I named this whole section. Liberals will repeal a tax cut as quick as they can. Republicans are sometimes loath to do them, but they will do them more often than liberals will. And we had a situation this past year where for the first time, finally, we had some impetus behind the idea of cutting the grocery tax. Well, they did. And I'll give kudos to the state legislature, Republican-controlled legislature, for actually cutting some taxes. Somebody who knows a lot about the fiscal policies of this state is our friend Justin Bogey. He's the director of fiscal policy at the Alabama Policy Institute. I've known Justin for a few years. He's got a great background, having worked with the Legislative Fiscal Office in Montgomery and also then with the Heritage Foundation and up in Congress and now with the Alabama Policy Institute. Justin Bogey, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. It's good to be with you again.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you making some time for us. So listen, the grocery tax repeal, if you could maybe refresh some folks on how that thing works. I mean, it's a phased-in approach to a partial cut. And what are we looking at now? What can we see in the near future?
Yeah, so as most people know, the state grocery tax was 4% before last Friday, September 1st. We started the process of rolling back 2% of the grocery tax. So you got a 1 cent cut last Friday. If all goes according to plan, we could see another 1 cent roll off of that next September 1st to get us down to 2% instead of the state sales tax of 4%. So, you know, really cutting that in half. That's assuming that certain growth metrics are met. The way that works is the Education Trust Fund projections for 2025, so the next fiscal year, have to be at least 3.5% growth for that next 1 cent cut to go into place. And you know, in recent years, we've been outpacing that 3.5% pretty well. The last 5 years, it's over 10%, and then over the last 10 years, it's about 6.2% or so. So you would think 3.5% growth would be attainable. The last couple of years are sort of outliers in that we've had really record growth up towards 20% last year or more. So 3.5%, certainly an attainable goal, not guaranteed, but, you know, we're certainly hopeful that next 1 cent will come off next September. And over the course of a year, it may not sound like a lot. You save 1 or 2 cents per dollar when you go to the store, but it really does add up. It's several hundred dollars a year for a typical family just on the kind of a low end grocery plan. So those, it's a permanent tax cut, and those savings really do add up over the years.
Yeah, I agree. And truthfully, when you look at the big picture for the state, I mean, the state, it's hundreds of millions of dollars that they're actually whacking off the top. It's truthfully one of the biggest tax cuts in its totality that Alabama's ever had. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Once it's fully phased in, it'll be the largest single tax cut in Alabama history. It's projected at about $318 million when you take the whole 2% off. So cutting that tax in half, it's not something to sneeze on. You know, it's a considerable amount of money. But you know, really, the state's had so much money flowing in the last few years. We've had record revenues, and it became, I think, a question of if you're not going to do it now, then when? We're heading into the session, we were one of only three states that fully taxed groceries. You have South Dakota and Mississippi; they're still doing it. Only 17 states in the country tax groceries, period. So, you know, I think it was certainly something that everyone coalesced around and got unanimous support of, something that Democrats and Republicans could both get behind. And it was something that needed to happen. And now, I hope that we can make that next step and continue to make progress that we saw this year and get the whole 4% tax repealed eventually.
Yeah, I agree. And I tell you, one of the things I liked about it, too, was this: the grocery tax is truly a regressive tax. It's the poorest among us still have to buy milk and bread. And so the idea that we are cutting something that affects everybody, that means something, I think.
Yeah, you're not playing any favorites here. Obviously, everyone has to eat. These are essential items that everyone needs on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, I think from 2022 to 2023, you know, grocery prices rose 7.5%. If you go back to pre-pandemic, it's even more than that. And, you know, again, over the course of a year or several years, that's not an insignificant amount of money. I know, anytime I go into the store, I still sort of have sticker shock, even after dealing with this for the past few years.
Yeah.
So it really has impacted families' budget. If you're really living on a tight budget, then any little bit of savings that you can get is certainly helpful. And again, it's going to benefit everybody. You're not playing favorites with rich, poor, otherwise. It's absolutely everyone benefits from this. So it was really a great progress that they were able to make this year.
And my understanding is, and I haven't really paid attention yet because it's only been a few days, but if you check out of the grocery store, you should have basically two tax lines now on your receipt, because not every food item qualifies. So there's some things you might buy at a grocery store, like candy or alcohol, that you're still going to be paying your typical 4% tax rate on. But true food items like fruits and vegetables and meat and poultry and fish and all that, there should be a separate line showing that those were deducted at a lesser rate. Am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, what was good about this bill that eventually passed and did this tax cut, we were looking at a much more limited version originally. But the final version of the grocery tax cut bill, it really includes almost every food item in the grocery store. The only thing that's excluded is hot prepared food items that you might get at a deli or something like that. But really, every kind of essential food item is included. Obviously, things like alcohol and you know, some of the candy and things you might not consider real food are not included in that, but this is really, you know, for the most part, all encompassing. But besides those hot food items, so yeah, you'll still pay a little bit higher tax on some of those things. You may see that 4% line still for a few items, but almost everything is being taxed at that lower rate now.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. I'm hearing that not everybody, not every vendor did a great job with the rollout. Like it caught some unawares; they had not reprogrammed their machines or something. What do you know about that? Did the rollout get a bit janky with some of them?
Yeah, you know, the only real example I've heard is Walmart. Walmart had some problems. It sounded like it was some kind of technical glitch, but they were actually double charging people. They were charging them the old 4% tax rate, and then they were adding an additional, the new 3% tax rate on top of that. So, you know, basically the whole first day of sales last Friday, everyone was being taxed at 7% instead of 3%. But they're trying, yeah. So you got a little double whammy there if you were shopping at Walmart last week. But they're trying to make it right. They're offering $5 gift cards to anyone who can, you know, bring in a receipt from last Friday that shows that they were double taxed, and they'll get a gift card back for that. And I think if you used a credit card, I was reading this morning, they'll actually automatically refund you the whatever the 4%. You know, tax came out to be that you paid. So they're trying to make it right. I haven't heard of too many other problems. So, you know, obviously there's a little bit of an adjustment period anytime you move from one tax rate to another. But it sounds like most of that's being worked out now.
So now what's going to happen, I figure, is that people are running down to the local Walmart to scour the parking lots to find old receipts to see if they can carry them inside and get a $5 gift card. That's what's going to happen.
Probably so, yeah. When you drive by your guests in Walmart tonight on the way home, maybe you'll see people out there scavenging for receipts.
Well, I mean, at the very least, though, they got something in place. The legislature, I mean, I call them like I see them, and this is a good one. And I wish it was more, and I hope that you may have heard, too, that Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who many believe is going to be running for governor in a couple of years, actually probably next year, is intent upon seeing the whole thing go away. And maybe so. We'll see.
Yeah, I saw he had an op-ed out in the last few days, you know, really – kind of doubling down on this, talking about the need to get rid of the tax completely, and I think he's absolutely right. And if you're considering running for governor in, you know, the near future, I think that's a pretty good place to be. So, you know, I hope that he's true to his word and he'll continue to champion this effort. He did a good job of really getting the ball rolling on it this year. So, you know, again, there's been so much money flowing into the state over the past 2 years. If you think about all the federal aid from COVID and really just the regular revenues that we've seen coming in, it certainly seems like if you prioritize your spending, this is something that should and could certainly happen. So, again, every little bit of tax relief helps, and you're talking over $600 million per year probably in tax cuts if you did cut the whole 4%. So it's not an insignificant total.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Justin, we appreciate you making time, man. You always kind of lay it down there where the baby goats can get to it. And so thank you very much for what you do, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you. That was Justin Bogey, the Director of Fiscal Policy with the Alabama Policy Institute. If you want to see more of his stuff or things that Stephanie Smith does, she comes on our show quite often too, the policies that they are advocating for, you can go to alabamapolicy.org. That's www.alabamapolicy.org. All right. We're taking a break right now, and we'll come back from that. And I got to tell you, I think I'm going into a mini dipper because I just there's this crazy story out of Illinois. That's just too good not to poke at for a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Looking at the text lines, Eric from Eva just texted in and says, Walmart trying to get some of that Devin Keith money back. Oh, there you go. Well, there you have it. I think he was sentenced recently, wasn't he? Badger from Athens. I already read that one. He said, Happy Friday. I read that earlier. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege here. I've got my triple dipper. I'm going to do the whole dippers. Next one coming up is Next Gen Military. But I got to tell you, this story came out yesterday that just cracked me up and made me roll my eyes. And I couldn't wait till the next time I do Woke World. I just thought I'd go ahead and start talking about it. And then it got even better. So Libs of TikTok, if you've all ever seen that, remember you ever seen Libs of TikTok?
Yes, I have.
It's awesome. And what's funny is Libs of TikTok, all they do is just show you what Libs are saying about themselves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not like they're making stuff up. They're just going, and here's your sign. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
So Libs of TikTok brought out this story the other day. So Highland Park, Illinois, it's right outside of Chicago. The city of Highland Park. You just look at this and go, come on, y'all, really? The city of Highland Park is partnering with the Alliance for Human Services, Family Focus, the Moraine Township, and the Highland Park Community Foundation to host a poverty simulation event. Did you catch that? They're going to host a poverty simulation event. This is an affluent community, all right? Highland Park is an affluent community. They thought, what better way to bring awareness? We'll have people who are of means come down to the community center, and for 2.5 hours... they'll go through an immersive experience of what it feels like to be poor.
Wow.
You can see where this is going.
Yes.
All right. So participants in the immersive experience will begin to experience what a month in poverty feels like. Participants are put into situations in which they do not have enough resources and are forced to make difficult choices that can negatively impact them and their families. The outcome is increased awareness of the need for resources to support those living in poverty to create more resilient health, human, and education sectors in our local area. Participation is free, but registration is required. Okay. Just so you know, it points out by Libs of TikTok, the city of Highland Park in Illinois is holding a poverty simulation event where rich people will pretend to be poor for 2.5 hours while sitting in a comfortable country club.
Okay.
And then it says you can't make this stuff up. However, they just said, breaking, the city of Highland Park has canceled the poverty simulation event where rich people can pretend to be poor for 2.5 hours at a nice country club. They did. They actually canceled it. Update. Here's the actual update from the Twitter account. The September 9th poverty simulation event facilitated by the Alliance for Human Services has been canceled. I guarantee you nobody signed up. I mean, it's hard to hold an event when ain't nobody coming. And at some point, you got to look at it and go,
I guess we just
call it off, fellas.
Hey, let's just call it off. Nobody's going to notice.
Now, what I'm waiting for next, though, to be honest with you, what I'm waiting for next is for somebody to scream racism. It's bound to happen. I mean, I feel certain.
Yes.
You didn't show up at our free event to pretend that you're poor for 2.5 hours because of racism. That's the next on the list. Or something to do with transgenders. I don't know.
It's going to be something.
Yeah. Something to do with transgenders. Or, I don't know, maybe they replaced it with Drag Queen Story Hour. I have no idea.
Oh, at the country club.
Yeah, at the country club. Somebody's going to get whacked. Oh, my gosh. Darlene from Gadsden just texted in and says, thank you for the shirt, Phil. And says, hey, and blessings to Boomer. Blessings on you. There you go.
Thank you.
She says, Illinois, stupid is, and the only state that had 4 former governors in prison. We've had a few in Alabama too, though, I will admit. But your point is well taken, Darlene. We love you. I hope you're doing well. All right, listen. Just so you know, if you hear somebody suggest that they want to organize an immersive event to help you pretend that you're poor for 2.5 hours. I mean, how would they do that?
Here. I don't know. I was just trying to figure it out in my head. So let's just go through a scenario.
Bring it to me.
Go on. Come on in, people. Drop all your wallets and shoes. Actually, go on and take off the shirt on your back. That'd be great at the door. And then come on in to this reenactment we have for you. And so they walk into a, let's just say, a pre-built wood cabin.
Well, I've got you. Got a little wooden cabin in the middle of the room.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, they're you know, and then but it has no roof. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, has no roof, and so they have to figure out how to make a roof first because the storm's about to come.
Or they have to sleep on the street in front of the little cabin.
Oh, that's it, and then knock on the door for food.
Yeah.
And then
for 2.5 hours.
I mean, why would they do this? Why?
Because somebody somewhere got a grant from a George Soros foundation that said, hey, here's a great idea. Create culturally immersive events where people pretend to be poor for 2.5 hours at the country club right before they go out to tea time on the links.
Wow.
Nuts.
It's just nuts and sad.
You know, and then this is one where you just want to say, and here's your sign.
And here's your sign.
Here's your sign.
Just saying. All right, listen, we're coming back. I had to do that. That was like a mini dipper. So if John's listening right now, you can add points to my score. Thank you very much. It just boggles the mind. All right, hey, listen, we're coming right back. You know I love the military, and I'll call things out when I see wrong stuff, but it's also amazing the level of advancement that our military has. And new things are on the horizon. And all of you out there that are tankers or sailors or whatever else, keep in tune because we're going to be talking about some new stuff. Next gen military, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all stay tuned.